Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. African football's qualifying campaign for the 2026 FIFA World Cup has officially kicked off, with matches being played across the continent. This opening phase of matches, spanning all nine qualifying groups, will go through November 21st, and then there will be a break, with the qualifiers resuming in June 2024. Remember, Sunny Side of Sports listeners, when all is said and done, the nine African group winners will qualify for the expanded 48-team World Cup, which will be held in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And another African team will go to a FIFA playoff tournament. In African World Cup qualifying Wednesday, the Warriors of Zimbabwe, returning to international competition after a FIFA suspension, played to a scoreless draw with host Rwanda in a Group C fixture in Butare. Ethiopia and Sierra Leone also played to a scoreless draw in a Group A qualifier held in El Jadida, Morocco. The match was moved to Morocco because Ethiopia does not have a FIFA-approved international stadium. And you might say Mother Nature made her presence felt in El Jadida. The qualifier was interrupted by fog in the Moroccan coastal city. The Democratic Republic of Congo kicked off its 2026 World Cup qualifying campaign with a 2-0 win over visiting Mauritania in a Group B qualifier in Kinshasa. Yoane Wissa and Theo Bunganda with second-half goals for the DRC, which made its first and only World Cup appearance in 1974. Yes, it would be great to see the DRC at the next World Cup after a nearly 50-year absence. And in Group H, Equatorial Guinea beat visiting Namibia 1-0 on a 67th-minute goal by Emilio Nsue. Joining me now for some African World Cup qualifying analysis is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Mukbil, on Wednesday's show, Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, described competing at a World Cup as the pinnacle of any player's career. I think back to last year's World Cup in Qatar, Lionel Messi lifting the trophy with Argentina, putting the exclamation point on such a great career. But Mukbil, wouldn't it be nice to see some new African players competing at the expanded 2026 World Cup?
Absolutely, Sonny, absolutely. I think, to me, the importance of the World Cup has shown us that if we think about what Lionel Messi has done in maybe his last year of his football, of his soccer career, prior to coming to Inter Miami, he didn't really have that great of a season with PSG. So for him to still be able to win the most prestigious award in all of football, the Ballon d'Or, shows the importance of the World Cup. Had he not won the World Cup, and had he not been, you know, the captain and the leading scorer of his team, Argentina, he wouldn't even be relevant. So it just shows you that the importance of the World Cup is exactly that, because on the other side, we have a young man by the name of Erling Haaland, who is Norwegian. Fortunately, his team didn't make the World Cup, but he won a treble. And usually a treble is three major football cups, basically, right? And it's super important. I've rarely seen a player win a treble and be the leading goal scorer on his team, scoring 50-plus goals. and not winning the Ballon d'Or. But it just shows you that the folks that are making the decisions that are voting for this prestigious award, they hold the World Cup at such a high honor, above the Champions League, above the EPL, above, you know, a ton of other leagues. So, yeah, the World Cup is that important that, you know, that's the only thing that Lionel Messi had going for him this last year, and it got him the Ballon d'Or.
Mukbil, this 2026 World Cup qualifying campaign in Africa will last about 2 years. Who are some of the African star players you'll be watching during the competition?
So, Sonny, for me, I'm very interested in, obviously, some of the big names, such as Sadio Mane from Senegal, who now plays in the Saudi Pro League. I would also say Koulibaly, who's also in the Pro League at the moment. Interestingly enough, these are guys that have had their runs in Europe, so it's not like they're just playing in the Saudi Pro League. Sadio Mane haven't played for Liverpool. Koulibaly was with Chelsea. I would say another player that I'm looking at is a Man City guy, Riyad Mahrez, who used to play for Man City, now went to the Saudi Pro League in Al Ahly. Are you seeing the trend here, Sonny? I would say, though, if I'm looking at some of the younger stars, Mohamed Kudus for Ghana is playing for West Ham now. I think he's definitely one to watch. If I were to say Mohamed Salah for Liverpool, obviously you can't really forget about him. Young man by the name of Yohan Wisa. We actually discussed him earlier on this year when EPL started, with him scoring some goals. And yeah, he helped his team win yesterday. Congo, he plays for the DRC, 2-0 win over Mauritania. And I believe he also had an assist. I'm thinking of the Ghanaian team just has a star-studded lineup, especially with EPL players. Thomas Partey for Arsenal. You have Antonio Semenyo, who also plays for Bournemouth. But let's not forget the Moroccan team. I was just thinking of, you know, Ghana and Nigeria, I believe, for me, are two teams that look really strong. Algeria, as I just mentioned. But Morocco, man, we have, you know, Hakimi at PSG. Ziyech now, who was formerly playing for Chelsea, is with Galatasaray at the moment. Sofyan Amrabat is at Manchester United, even though he's, you know, his team is having a bit of a tough season. Nonetheless, I think that Moroccan team is definitely going to be one to watch.
Mukbil, the Moroccan team is the favorite in Group B. As you know, the group winners will qualify for the next World Cup. I know there are upsets in international football, Mukbil. We just have to look back to last year's World Cup. Before lifting the trophy, Argentina was defeated by Saudi Arabia in the group phase. But let's look at these groups in Africa, Mukbil, and maybe give us your predictions about who will come out on top.
I'll say for Group A, I think that Egypt will be the winner of Group A. It's simply from talking about, you know, the skill level of what they have, and in comparison to their group. Group B, DRC has shown that they, you know, they collected 3 points, but nonetheless, I still feel as though that's Senegal's group to lose. That's Group B. Group C, Nigeria. Group D, Cameroon. Group E, Morocco. Group F, Ivory Coast. Group G, Algeria. Even though my team, Somalia, is in the group, if they can, you know, get a draw in their first game against Algeria, that would be huge. That would be huge. You know, the young Ocean Stars. But Group H, Tunisia, and Group I, Ghana. So that's who I feel like are going to come out of the groups. Now, there are a couple of teams that could potentially put a wrench in some of these predicted teams, game if they don't play accordingly. As you mentioned, Group B, DRC, has a lot to gain from, you know, rejoining the ranks of the World Cup. 50 years they haven't been in the World Cup. You know, they're off to a great start. All it takes is, you know, them to put together a nice couple of games by beating everybody else and then playing Senegal. And if they can defeat Senegal, great. Even if they don't necessarily have to defeat Senegal, if they're winning against everyone else, they just need a draw. And it's up to Senegal to make sure that they're beating everyone else by a bigger goal difference. So, you know, anything can happen.
Anything can happen for sure, Mukbil. If we take a look at the latest FIFA rankings, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, currently number one in Africa, followed by another pride of Lions, the Lions of Teranga from Senegal, ranked number two in Africa. And then Tunisia, the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, ranked three in Africa. And then the next three teams, Mukbil, Algeria, Egypt, and Nigeria, 4, 5, and 6 in the FIFA rankings. Those three teams did not make it to Qatar last year. But Mukbil, I gotta believe we're gonna see those three teams at the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah, no, I definitely would agree. You know, usually big name teams like that, that for whatever reason, you know, drop out or are unable to make any kind of competition. What it does for them in the next competition is that the entire football body of that country just, you know, cannot afford for that to happen again. They do a lot of changes from the people in the federation to trying to make sure that they're calling up all their big names. I know for Nigeria, they have about six players from the EPL alone. And, you know, they have Victor Osimhen, top goal scorer in Serie A last year, plays for Napoli, has been linked to numerous teams. I believe Chelsea is looking to pick him up in the transfer window this year. Heck of a player. He's phenomenal. So for him to be playing alongside his team, I know a lot of his midfielders are going to be super confident in creating for a player that has that quality in the box. So, yeah, look to see these teams that you just mentioned, Nigeria, Egypt. I know Mohamed Salah definitely, alongside Mohamed Elneny as well, who plays for Arsenal, doesn't really get as much rotation as he once used to, but nonetheless, quality player. So I know he definitely will be super excited to put on his home nation jersey to help his team come out of Group A.
Mukbil, as we talk, 58 days until the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. 24 African teams will be participating in Ivory Coast. Those 24 teams now taking part in FIFA World Cup qualifiers. Do you see the Nations Cup-bound teams in Africa, Mukbil, maybe taking a good hard look at some of the younger players during this FIFA World Cup qualifying window?
Absolutely. I think if I'm coaching staff or if I'm, you know, a president of football operations for any of these respective countries, what I'm thinking is, okay, let's say like the bigger teams that we've just mentioned, right? The Egypts, the Senegals, Morocco's, Cameroons. These teams, obviously, you never want to take extreme risks because at the end of the day, you still want to qualify. So what I would do is, you know, if I get a 1-0 or if I get a 2-0 lead in a specific game and maybe there's 15 minutes left, maybe I put in a young star, a young creative, a young up-and-coming player that has shown me in training that he has the ability to go out and do something impressive, you know? I definitely expect a lot of these teams to really dig deep into their, you know, into their bag of players and showcase that a lot of these younger up-and-coming African stars have the ability to play alongside these older players. So yeah, I definitely think, you know, Ghana is one that we've mentioned. Mohamed Kudus is doing phenomenal things for West Ham already. And yeah, I'd be interested to see which of these younger stars really shows up and shows out in this tournament.
Mukbil, our beloved big man from Bamako, Sheck Tierra, really showed up and showed out during our Basketball Africa League coverage in season 3. And I know Sheck will be watching those Eagles from Mali. Now, Mukbil, do you think the Eagles may be an outside threat to the Black Stars of Ghana in that qualifying group?
Yeah, I mean, if we look at that group, right, outside of Ghana, I believe Mali seems to me like the only other team that really possesses the quality to be able to even give them, you know, somewhat of a shake. If we look at Mali, Mali has Yves Bissouma, who plays for Tottenham. They have Sheck Diokora, not Sheck, you know, not Sheck Tierra, but Sheck Diokora from Crystal Palace. Ismaili Koulibaly plays for Sheffield, and Boubacar Traore plays for the Wolves. So these are, you know, very, very solid players. And if you can get the right cast around them, yeah, I don't see, you know, how they don't make it interesting with Ghana. The only thing about Ghana is, Ghana's players are, I would say, just a little bit more creative in their playing style, so it can just open up defenses a little bit more. But hey, you know, if you're playing at EPL, you're seeing creativity on a regular day basis. It's not something that's going to be shocking to you when you're playing against them. So with Mali having four solid EPL players, you know, honestly speaking, it's just one game. So if they're able to hold it down for 90 plus minutes, it would be unbelievable for Mali and what it could do for their country, the level of excitement that they would have. So I'm all for an upset, man. So we will be watching. I'm definitely going to be watching closely today as we have a plethora of games going on today. Like I said, I'm super, super interested in seeing Algeria versus Somalia. Somalia has one of the youngest teams at this at the World Cup qualifiers, you know, having had so many different challenges with, you know, government and infrastructure. The game is a natural game for Somalis across the board. It's just that the money has not been put behind the infrastructure in order to get the job done. A lot of the players that are going to now be playing for this team are from the diaspora, having played, you know, some of the guys are playing the MLS, some of the guys having had some experiences in European clubs, maybe smaller clubs and not necessarily the EPLs and the Serie A's of the world. But nonetheless, I think this will be interesting just to see, you know, where they stand. But team chemistry is huge. So you may have, you know, some high quality players, but if they haven't had enough time to gel with their team, it could still be very bad. And Algeria is one of those teams that has, you know, proven themselves year in and year out that they're a dominant force on the continent. They have some of the heaviest hitting names in football.
Talking heavy hitting African football qualifying for the 2026 World Cup with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Thank you, Mukbil.
Thank you for having me, Sonny.
The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. As I mentioned earlier, Zimbabwe played a scoreless draw against host Rwanda Wednesday in a 2026 FIFA World Cup qualifier. Zimbabwe will host Nigeria Sunday in another World Cup qualifier. I say host. It's a home match for Zimbabwe, but the team will play once again in Rwanda because it does not have FIFA-sanctioned international stadiums. Joining us now with reaction from Harare is Kudzai Zivinavashe. Sporty greetings, Kudzai!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Lincoln Mutasa is the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Football Association. He spoke with VOA before Wednesday's scoreless draw between Zimbabwe and host Rwanda. He explained the circumstances leading to the Zimbabwe's home match against Nigeria Sunday that will be held in Rwanda.
Today's game is against Rwanda. Rwanda is the home team. This first game is basically an away game for us. We then asked Rwanda if we could host Nigeria as our home game in Rwanda. And they so kindly agreed to that.
Mutasa says having the match in Rwanda is beyond their control and has had a bearing on the support base.
Indeed. After 1.5 years on suspension from international football, our biggest hope would have been to play in front of our home supporters. But unfortunately, circumstances beyond our control, whereby our stadiums are still not yet certified, has forced us to actually take this position to play in Rwanda. Our stadiums, although they're under renovations, when we brought in the CAF inspectors, they still were not deemed fit to host international matches.
Zimbabwe was banned from participating in international matches by FIFA in 2022 on account of government interference in the National Football Federation. Leopold Munende is a sports journalist in Zimbabwe. He says Zimbabwe playing in Rwanda is very telling.
It's quite disappointing that the Warriors have to play their home game in Rwanda. They'll be playing Nigeria on Sunday. It's quite disappointing, especially when you consider that the sports ministry promised 2 years back that the National Sports Stadium will be up to standard by the time we are readmitted into international football. This is not the case. We do not have a CAF-approved stadium. Up until now, it's an indication of poor administration, poor planning, and just a bunch of promises which have never been fulfilled.
Mutasa says both the government and the city council assist with stadium renovations. He says the next window of inspections is next year around April to June, and is hopeful Zimbabwe will have standard stadiums that will sell through the inspections. Munende says authorities should embrace corporate support in the renovation of stadiums. This will expedite the renovations and bring soccer matches back to Zimbabwe. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Kudzai Zinamashe in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Thanks, Kudzai. From Zimbabwe, let's go to Ghana, which will host Madagascar Friday in another 2026 FIFA World Cup qualifying match. Joining us now for a preview is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ghana will this Friday start its World Cup campaign to qualify for the 2026 FIFA World Cup, and at the Babayaro Stadium in Kumasi will host Madagascar in a Group I game. As part of the Black Stars' preparations in last October international friendlies, the Ghanaians lost to Mexico 2-0 and the United States of America 4-0. The unexpected scorelines of the two games brought mixed feelings to Ghanaian football fans, doubting on the standard of their team. John Amoa is a Ghanaian football analyst and a regular listener of VOA Sunny Side of Sports. I asked John about the current strength of the Black Stars.
When the Black Stars played against Madagascar in an African Cup qualifiers, Ghana won 3-0 at home and drew 0-0 in Madagascar. Yes, though Ghana has an edge over them, but I think this time around, the Madagascans would do their best as they meet the Black Stars to avoid that defeat. And so the Black Stars, I think, should lift up their game. Other than that, they would be laughing at the wrong side of their mouth.
The football analyst also agreed to complaints by football stakeholders on poor conditions of the Babayaro pitch.
Yes, the sports authorities in Ghana should do their best to always upgrade our stadium, especially the Kumasi Sports Stadium, where Black Stars always enjoy playing. Yes, the maintenance culture should always be maintained to keep the standards of our stadium, especially the Kumasi Sports Stadium. The authorities should always keep note.
John Amoa again in his comments said consistency of the Black Stars since qualifying from 2006 World Cup in Germany, except Russia 2018 World Cup, gives him the confidence of Ghana making it to the 2026 FIFA World Cup.
As the Black Stars have been qualifying for all the recent World Cup tournaments except the Russia 2018, though they are always bent on qualifying. Every country as well in recent times would want to qualify. And so the Black Stars should, like as earlier said, lift up their game. Why I'm saying so is the over-concentration of foreign-based players, I think, does not augur too good for a team. And so I'm thinking it is high time they blend the foreign-based players with some of the good players around to get a good team to enable them qualify for the next World Cup.
That was Ghanaian football analyst John Amoa. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
Thanks, Kwabena. And that wraps up the November 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.